listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Yo, yo, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it's Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. We'll get back into the NFL in just a bit. I got to react, though, to one game right now from college football over the weekend. Alabama and A&M. Now, I thought Alabama was going to win and was going to win by like two touchdowns. It got a little bit interesting because you didn't know the status of Bryce Young, but you felt like Bryce Young was not going to play. There was never a doubt that Bama was going to win the game. I never thought Bama was going to lose the game. But you look at the state of A&M entering that game. You lose to App State early in the year. Then you find a way to go back-to-back against Miami and Arkansas. And you're just coming off a blowout loss up against Mississippi State. If you can't get up for that game against Alabama, you can never get up for any game. Haynes King then is going to be starting because you had Max Johnson get hurt. So that was a game where you knew that there was going to be some sloppy play. But I thought the better team and the better program was going to win and would probably end up winning by two touchdowns. Now, I was shocked to see that that game came down to one final play. And still, Ryan, I can't believe the play call there. Now, you could also get on the execution as well, but that throw wasn't even in the end zone. So some of it's on the quarterback too, but it does appear that the play call was just a bad play call in that spot. And I can't say I'm annoyed about it because Jimbo Fisher to me is so obnoxious. And I get that he had to go back and forth with Nick Saban this summer when Saban started it. I thought he took it to a different level when you say, oh, start interviewing the guys on his staff and all that and have their true thoughts on Nick Saban when you used to work for Nick Saban as well. But Jimbo Fisher, even in a weird spot when his team actually showed up against Alabama after beating them a year ago, he's someone that right now, the last few years, he's all sizzle. He's all hype. It's all Jimbo's this, Jimbo's that because of what Jimbo did at Florida State. So far, that A&M team, other than one year when they were like, what, 8-1 or 9-1, whatever it was, they're not close to being a contending team, to being a team that I look at them and go, wow, you could get to the college football playoff and also you could go find a way to go win a national championship. And eventually you got to go to Wigman. You got to go to the young quarterback. And he has not had a great quarterback. I get that. But you look at A&M Alabama, Rye, it does feel weird to kill Jimbo Fisher after that game because it was close. But then you think, okay, Bryce Young wasn't playing for Alabama. But that final play call, you could still be upset and annoyed with the coach even when the team gives a better effort when you thought. When they have a chance to literally go win the game and take down Alabama for 2 years in a row, and that's what gets dialed up with the game on the line. You couldn't have more creativity with the game on the line, or you could not have a better play call. Maybe some of it's on the execution of the players too, but I thought that was a terrible ending for a game that you could have easily won when you went into this game when no one was picking you to win.
And that's where I keep coming back to. Like, I don't think this massive $90 million buyout is enough to truly have him be guaranteed to be back next year? Because you're right. You look at this game specifically. He was brought in to beat Alabama. He's brought in to take A&M to a level that Kevin Sumlin could not. They're used to winning 7-8 games a year. They want to get to that 9-10-11-12 and start winning national titles.
You got
to
be careful what you wish for, because look at Auburn, too. Auburn had a lot of success up against Alabama. You had to get rid of Gus Malzahn, right? Every Auburn fan told me, and I said, be careful what you wish for if you're Auburn. Because getting rid of Gus Malzahn, who was a good football coach, you didn't upgrade. So if you're going to tell me that A&M needs to get rid of Jimbo Fisher, you got to give me a name or two that instantly I'll say, okay, boom, that would be significantly better than Jimbo Fisher there. And ultimately, I do think, and we can have a conversation about this, I do think Jimbo's going to be back regardless how this year plays out. And you could mention the contract and all that. But remember the recruiting class that he's bringing on in. Now, I know you could say, right, any Tom, Dick, and Harry, if you have all the resources, could go get the players that they could go get. That recruiting class is massive, and I don't think right now you want to disrupt the apple cart, and he should get another year, especially with this quarterback that is there right now. I at least want to see the quarterback play and what the quarterback looks like before I throw Jimbo Fisher away.
Here's my frustration with Jimbo. I thought Saturday summed it up perfectly. I'll be honest, I would have laid the points if I, you know, going into this game. I thought Alabama, even with Jalen Milroe, was going to handle A&M. To their credit, they play tight.
Yeah.
But also how that game breaks down. You have four turnovers from Alabama.
Yeah.
You mentioned before, they're playing with the backup quarterback. You had two missed field goals as well. You had some untimely and un-Alabama-like stupid penalties at some bad times that extended drives. Yes, I get Haynes King is... He was a starter, got benched, whatever, and you lose Max Johnson. But even going back to that last play call, to your point, we talk about and we laud or have lauded Jimbo Fisher for his offensive genius and his ability to be a quarterback whisperer, right? And then the last play call, the last play of the game, Haynes King, it could be on him execution-wise, not getting the ball out, bad play call, combination of both. But also, too, then, if you're Jimbo Fisher, you have to drill in your quarterback's head, get the ball out quick. Like, you have to know time, situation, and basically realize this route is 7 yards. He's turning around. You got to get it out right away, because the longer you wait, the receiver ran himself out of the end zone. I don't really think it's his fault, but how long it took, it's just one of those things where you cannot have your quarterback in that situation just be unaware, basically, that you can't hold on the ball that long. And that goes back to Jimbo getting his guys ready to play in a big moment, and they've not done that.
It's so crazy how much different we approach coaches in the NFL to college. Like, if Jimbo Fisher was in the NFL, he would be fired. But in college, there are a lot of coaches that could just be good. And I know it's the SEC, right, that's super-duper competitive, and patience does wear thin in the SEC. But I keep on thinking, when you look at the pool, and the pool of guys that are available in college, who are you getting in A&M that's going to be better, without a doubt, than Jimbo Fisher? Like, who's that guy? Like, who would be your guy if you're going to get rid of Jimbo, Rye, that you say, okay, that's the guy that I would go hire? If you give me three names.
I mean, I would go right over to their rival. I would take Bill O'Brien. Take him off the staff. This, like, A&M has the talent, and this has been something that Jimbo Fisher's fallen short of the last few years. It's not getting the players to College Station. It's getting the most out of the roster. And now, this is, again, we've seen you can get the recruits in there, but if you can't win with them, if you can't make them better than when they walked in from day one, what are you doing?
Does Bill O'Brien, though, who I do think could be a good college coach again at the right job, does Bill O'Brien make me think, man, that creates excitement if I'm an A&M fan? I don't think Bill O'Brien creates excitement.
Is he that much different than Steve Sarkisian when he was hired at Texas? Because I kind of look at it similar. Texas could get talent. Like, Texas is not losing because they are 50th in recruiting every single year. They have the resources.
But A&M's not in as dreadful as a spot as Texas was.
No.
I'm talking about it not. I mean, like, the way that they've been playing recently. I know this year Sark is there, so it's different, but... I get your point, because Sark has been a coach before, learned from his different reasons, learned from his failures. Yeah, Sark was a good hire at Texas.
And you're seeing, like, he's a guy who's now, with his scheme, able to get the talents already there.
But the,
and
the
so
thing
far,
is, though, Tom Herman to Sark, you look at it, you said, wow, upgrade. Jimbo to Bill O'Brien, little bit different. It is different to me than when you compare him to Sark for the guy that he was taking over.
And Sark was a multiple failed head coach. It's not like, you know, he had his own issues. So it's not like this was a slam dunk hire.
Sure.
And also, Texas has made sexy hire. Like Tom Herman, we go back, that was a sexy coach hire when they got him. It's
LSU fans were,
this is the guy that's going to turn the program around. And we've seen Texas, really since Mac Brown left, swing and miss at every head coach they hire they made. I hate this because it's not really an answer to your question. So it's this is not a cop-out.
But that's the, you don't have one. Like that's the thing. There isn't a great one right now that if you look at the situation of A&M, and that's just the point that I'm making, if you give me a tangible name that makes me go, wow, I'm excited, I'm like, okay, then I can move on from A&M, especially with how their AD does go star hunting for coaches and gets big-name coaches. That's why when I just look at that whole situation, it's just, I think he gets another year. And in a weird way, sometimes when you have some patience in college football, it ends up working. But to answer your question, do I think we'll end up working at A&M? They have the talent, so there's really no more excuses. Like, this is the best way to say it. He'll be back next year. The seat, though, is on fire to start the year. You lose, like, App State or something to the equivalent of that again early. You have an early loss or two next year. Then you're probably on the outside. Then you're probably getting dumped next year very early for Jimbo Fisher.
The frustrating part is, like if you're an A&M fan, it's just like, forget about competing with Alabama. And again, they lost close game, but we saw Alabama play one of the worst games ever played under Nick Saban on Saturday night with the backup quarterback. Like, they can't even consistently beat the middle teams in the SEC. It's not like it's like Alabama, Georgia, and then they're kind of like that third team there. They can't, and we've seen Mississippi State now 2 years in a row just thump them. You know, they can't consistently beat Auburn. They can't consistently beat LSU. So, like, a lot of these programs that have been even down the last few years, like, they're struggling to just get by the middle-tier teams in the SEC. It's like, you're paying this guy all that money, and it's like,
he's not,
they haven't even
right
sniffed, for the most part, an SEC title game appearance.
I'm agreeing with you. He is not worth it right now. But alternative-wise, he's still good enough where they're going to give him another year, especially with the recruits that they have. And also, what did you think A&M was going to be this year? Don't get me wrong. I didn't think A&M was going to lose to App State. But A&M, their quarterback position, was a big question mark going into this year. Now, the other part of this conversation, Ryan, Alabama, and you know me, for me to say this, this is big. Because I give Alabama the benefit of the doubt 10 times out of 10 times. And you know what? Even 15 times out of 10 times. I'm a little bit concerned about Alabama. We've seen them now in quote-unquote their two big games. Texas. Quinn Ewers gets hurt. They had to have a great defensive play by Will Anderson Jr. And then Bryce Young making a great play to just grab that victory out. And this game, I know you don't have Bryce Young, but this is not a good A&M team, and they almost lost. Now, Georgia, everyone is allowed to have one stinker. That's why I did not freak out after the Missouri game for Georgia. Alabama's one stinker was up against Texas. Now they got another one. And I know they had a very good win up against Arkansas, but Arkansas wasn't as good as what we thought. But other than that, like, what is there to be excited about? That they blew out Utah State 15-5 to nothing? That they beat up Louisiana Monroe? They beat up Vanderbilt? And the game this weekend, how much do we talk about this all the time? Timing is everything in sports. Tennessee is as red hot as they've been in forever. Josh Heupel has those guys going. Hendon Hooker looks like he could win the Heisman this year. And now Alabama has to go to Tennessee, and that's a game where we're going to learn a lot about Alabama this weekend. Because through the first five, six weeks of the college football season, if I just gave you the resumes and didn't tell you the school, you would say the resume of Tennessee is better. Doesn't mean that Tennessee is going to win the game, but the resume of Tennessee is better. And it's still the mental side of it. You hear the name Alabama. And you go, man, I can't really pick against them. But I am monitoring now Alabama. And they're going to need Bryce Young to play this week, and we'll see if he does. But this is a huge week, Rye, for Alabama up against Tennessee, where any of those doubts that you have, you could totally wipe them away if you do what Alabama usually does in these games, and you go wipe Tennessee off the football field.
And the concern, like the reason for the concern being valid is just like you mentioned, the two biggest games so far they have struggled. Now, to their credit, they won, right? So it's not like we're talking about an Alabama team that's 4-2, they're 6-0. But also at the same time, a lot of the same issues now in both of their biggest games have kept on creeping up. It's uncharacteristically boneheaded mistake penalties.
And turnovers.
They fumbled, like, it felt like 8 times on Saturday. They recovered a few, but it's like every time, like, a running back or receiver, like, got hit, they just, boom, balls out. It's like, that's not a Nick Saban. Like, they do the technical things better than any school in the country. And the last two big games, they've forgot how to do that.
And last year was the rebuilding year, remember? Now, they're not good at wide receiver this year. They are not Alabama wide receivers as we've been accustomed to for the better part of the last decade. But you have one of the best offensive players in the sport, guy won a Heisman last year, and a guy that's going to be a top 3 pick in the NFL draft on the defensive side of the ball, in Will Anderson Jr. And you have guys that last year that Nick Saban, you could tell he was proud of his team for still getting to the national championship game, which is not the standard Alabama. It's championship or bust each and every year, fair or not. But you could tell he was so excited for this season because he knew that team was ahead of the curve from where they actually should have been. And then this year, the product's just not that clean. Like, we've seen this before with the cupcakes games that they sometimes play, where when they get to the early part of the SEC schedule and the games are close, or a non-conference game that gets close, everyone starts to doubt Alabama, and I'm usually never that person. This year just feels a little bit different because you look at the wide receiver unit, and it's not 3-4 guys that you're shaking in your boots over. And they've had injuries the last few years of the wide receiver position, but the depth's been so good. Look at the guys that are in the NFL right now. So this is a big test for Alabama this week. Huge test. And I hope we get a close game between Alabama and Tennessee. Because Tennessee, I like the energy that Heupel's brought to that program. The AD as well. White coming over from UCF. This is good. And Hooker's been great for them. This is going to be, I really hope it's going to be a fun game. For Tennessee, it's a statement game. For Alabama, it's a reminder. Yeah, it hasn't gone great this year, even though we still are undefeated. And we've had to scratch and claw our way to victory in some of these games. But we can remind you to anyone doubting us. But right now, like, we'll do Take 5 on Wednesday. I haven't put Alabama lower than 2. I got to put Ohio State and Georgia in front of them, just for starters. Ohio State and Georgia in front of them. It is Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll have a news brief next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
And you can think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's listen up from a media session today with Ron Rivera. He is asked why the Eagles, Giants, and Cowboys are all better than the Commanders, who are 1-4, when you have the Giants and Cowboys at 4-1 and the EAGLES Eagles at 5-0.
Quarterback. the truth is that this is a quarterback-driven league. And if you look at the teams that have been able to sustain success, they've been able to build it around a specific quarterback.
Chose the quarterback here, though. So do you have any regrets about that, or how do you?
No, I got no regrets about their quarterback. I think our quarterback has done some good things. There's been a couple of games that he struggled. But you look at his numbers from yesterday, and you would say, okay, look at his numbers he's had throughout the year. There was a time he was, very solid. And then, we had the unfortunate Philadelphia game, and he struggled a little bit in the Dallas game. But the way he performed yesterday, it just shows you what he's capable of. And, we chose him because we believe him. We chose him because we looked at what we felt were things that pointed towards him.
My brain goes in 1,000 directions with that bullcrap answer. From Ron Rivera, who's been on the show multiple times before, one of the good guys in the NFL. But a problem I've had with Ron has been the way he's approached this quarterback position. At first, it was, okay, you got to build a roster, then get the quarterback. Then it was, all right, we're going to be patient. We don't have to get one in the draft. Then this year, you were going to think draft. They tried to be aggressive, tried to go trade for Russell Wilson. You knew they couldn't go make a play for Deshaun Watson with Daniel Snyder as their owner. And then it was, okay, we're going to give up significant capital for Carson Wentz, who stinks. I love how he said, yeah, he struggled in a few games. Ron, this is not week 15. You just finished up week 5. So if he struggled in a few games and it's only a handful of games, that means he has not played well. And the things he showed yesterday, what, that he had a few deep balls in the game and a few nice plays? With the game on the line, he had 3 opportunities to get the job done, and all 3 footballs could have been picked off, and one of them was. So what the bleep are you talking about? And not only that, then he says, oh, the other teams are built because of their quarterback, and that's been the difference. Daniel Jones a franchise quarterback? Nope. Is Cooper Rush a franchise quarterback? Nope. Jalen Hurts looking like a franchise quarterback. But the Eagles have a great roster. Dallas, their success has been predicated off their defense. The Giants so far coaching. So there is nothing that Ron Rivera said there that made me go, oh, aha, I see what he's saying. Man, that was verbal diarrhea. That is what that was.
I actually get where he's coming from. Eagles fans have gone through it the hard way. I unfortunately learned the lesson last year the hard way. You talk yourself into Carson Wentz.
No,
stats.
Stop.
And then you realize what happens.
That doesn't work anymore.
Oh, no, I agree.
In Philadelphia, I got it. They traded up for him. He's a prospect. And in Indianapolis, okay, now he's getting a coach that actually supports him, even though I warned you that it was a dumb decision. You saw him fail in Philly and fail in Indy. And that's the guy with how selective and patient you've been for a quarterback go, woohoo, I got to go get him. If it wasn't for his owner just being a moron and a dope and a buffoon with the way that he conducts himself, Ron Rivera would be on the hot seat right now. But no one talks about Ron Rivera potentially getting fired because we all know the real problems that organization is Dan Snyder, and everyone likes Ron Rivera. So for the Commanders, it's like, all right, let's keep Ron because at least someone likes something about our team. Maybe this is Ron Rivera intentionally trying to get fired. Because he has really lost me in the quarterback selection. And then remember last year, he goes, oh, don't be surprised if we take a step back because we made the playoffs, but that wasn't really that good of a team. And this year he said, you expect to see a jump. So he put the pressure back on himself, and now this team is 1-4. That's horrible. Carson Wentz is throwing an interception to lose the game was crushing.
We get first and goal from the 2, and you're thinking, all right, we got this. We got a couple chances here, and hats off to them. They made a couple good plays, and it's frustrating. It's definitely frustrating, and kind of stings a little bit extra just because I thought we had it there.
Can I be transparent here, Ryan? And maybe this factored in because in our NFL picks, which Mraz is now up 3 games on me, on when I do the picks on the DA show, not this show, that Mraz took Tennessee. I think they were like laying 1.5, 2 points. When Wentz gets the flag and the ball goes down to the 2-yard line, I go, oh, Commanders are going to score. And that's me being the biggest critic of Carson Wentz in the world. But at the two, you can't find a way to get the ball in the end zone at the two. And the first football that he threw away, I don't know how he didn't throw that 15 feet out of the end zone and it almost got picked off. The second one almost got picked off and the third one got picked off.
That's my favorite part. He goes, oh, we were so close. Third time was a charm.
You've been close.
But it's not like, you know, he actually threw any of those three passes that anywhere had a chance of being a touchdown.
If you're an NFL team that employs Carson Wentz as your starting quarterback, you're a bad team. You're a bad organization. Talking about bad decisions. Brandon Staley on why he went for it on 4th and 1 at the end of the game. This was at his own 46-yard line. He did not get it. Gives the ball back to Cleveland. Cleveland ends up missing a 50-plus yard field goal from Cade York. This was on the Jim Rome show earlier today. Brandon Staley explaining that decision.
Our offense, it had a huge day. And I really liked the matchups that we had. And, you know, I had full confidence that we would make it with them out of timeouts, that we would be, you know, finishing it there on our terms. 4th and 1.5. Going to trust Justin Herbert and our guys to go do it. And I felt like we had the play call, and I would do the same thing again. And, you know, I also know that there's a lot of scrutiny that comes with it, you know, and I take full responsibility for all of it. But, you know, our mindset was to go be aggressive and win that game.
So I get why you go for it. If you go for it, the game's over. But you have to understand the scenario. And the scenario in that game, you're at, what was it, like a 1:15 left or whatever it is, 4th and 1 at the 46. You need to look at the risk and the reward. And the reward is you win the game, but the risk is if you don't get it, you're giving the ball back to the Browns at the Chargers' 46-yard line. Now, this would have been a much bigger deal if Cade York makes the kick, just in the way of reaction. That's the natural decision. That's just the natural conversation of it. Because they ended up winning the game, so you could at least have something positive to chew on. But that's still a bad decision. And I don't care what the analytics say. I don't care if you want to be aggressive. Sometimes it's just being stupid. And Brandon Staley in that game yesterday was stupid. And he hasn't learned anything. And he continues to be stupid. So stop being stupid. And if your gut says in that decision to go for it, maybe then you should listen to your cabeza. Because there's no way that your head's saying, yeah, this is a great decision. And also, here's the part that's not getting really talked about. Do you have any problem, Ryan? And I know Herbert is a wonderful quarterback. 4th and 1. That game yesterday was dominated by Austin Eckler. Don't you got to get Austin Eckler the football who had 10.8 yards per carry in the game? If you just need one little yard.
I would 100% agree. That play call he had did not have a chance.
Ay. Let's hear more from Brandon Staley. Did you see Keenan Allen's reaction to this? He was saying, what the bleep? This is what he said. WTF on Twitter are we doing? And then he followed up with, so glad he missed that because man. Let's hear Brandon Staley, the Jim Rome show, give his reaction to Keenan Allen questioning Staley's decision-making during the game on Twitter. Keenan Allen was out of the game with an injury.
Keenan Allen has my full respect. You know, Keenan Allen has proven himself in more ways than one, you know, in his NFL career. And to me, you know, our relationship to me is what I trust and believe in. So, you know, that's what you go back on. And I think that when you're very close with people, and it doesn't matter if it's Keenan or Derwin or Justin or whomever, that Khalil Mack, there's going to be times like that in competition. And so you just know that that's part of it. And you also know that moving forward that, you know, we're each other's guy. So moving forward, I know that we're going to be closer than ever.
If that was his answer last year, Ryan, I'd be okay with it. But now this is year number two. This guy just bloviates every time he talks. It just never ends. And I don't buy anything that he's actually saying. He's a problem.
And it's also concerning, like, it's coming from an offensive guy. Like, if the tweet was from a defensive player, it makes sense because you think of the game from the defense only, and it's like, oh, you're putting
about the Allen
us,
tweet.
Yes, in a bad 100%. Spot here. But you have an offensive guy who they're always programmed, let's go for it, we're going to get it for sure, saying, what are we doing?
Yeah.
That's a major red flag.
I had Josh Kelly on yesterday on Ion Football and asked him about it. And he basically said, oh, yeah, I love the confidence coach has in us. You're right. Offensive guy. In the moment, if I'm an offensive guy, you want to go win the game. But you would expect that tweet to be from a defensive player. Hey, coach, you're screwing us here. The fact that that came from Keenan Allen, man, that's major, major, major. Let's listen up to Cliff Kingsbury on the Cardinals spiking the ball on third down before kicking a field goal that ended up missing.
Thought he was clearly passed, and they brought it back. And by that time, we'd committed to clocking it. So it was just past the point of no return.
Is that a Kyler call or a coach call?
That's a coach call. Yeah, it's a coach call.
It's amazing how the coach and the quarterback didn't know what down it was. Now, don't get me wrong. When I'm watching that game live, I thought he got the first down. And then when they showed the replay, and they were able to show a replay, he does slide and gives himself up. So when you start to give yourself up, that's where it's down, not where the ball is. Not where you finish the slide. But when I saw that live, I go, oh, they got a first down. And they quickly show a replay. And the next thing you know, they spike the ball. I go, okay. And then I'm like, oh, wait, it's fourth and one. So now you got to kick the field goal. It's just bad awareness by the coach and bad awareness by the quarterback. And how both of them, right? We're big on this show, checks and balances. How many times do we talk about checks and balances? If I mess something up, Hickey has to be right. If Hickey messes something up, which usually is the way that happens, I have to correct Hickey. Neither of them knew the situation there. You can't operate impromptu a little bit. That's absolutely brutal. Kyler Murray and why he spiked the ball on third down. Let's hear from him.
After the play, everybody's screaming clock, you know, in my ear. So, assuming, yeah, I had the first down.
I put that more on the coach. Because let's say if I have 10 seconds to get to break and Ryan goes, clock, 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 clock. I'm just listening to your command, right? Even though you would think the guy that you're paying all that money would look up and go, oh, wait, no, I actually have 20 seconds, not 10 seconds. And then you could think a little bit quickly on your feet. But when you're in a moment like that, a pressure situation, you hear the first thing, yeah, I probably would have clocked the football as well.
Dan Olasky made a great point. You're calling quarterback sneak or quarterback draw on second down. You'd assume, we may not get it. We do great. If not, should you have another play call ready to go?
Agreed, 100%.
Like the clock was stopped on first down, so you had time to call two plays. That's, again, it's bad situational awareness. You're 100% right. You got to be better in that situation.
The whole four down sequence was terrible.
Awful.
Because they also spiked it on first down, too. Brutal. And then did you hear David Pugh after the game? Justin Pugh, excuse me, of the Cardinals. He says the Cardinals' loss isn't squarely on Matt Amendola.
It's not one guy. I missed a block. We missed touchdowns. We should have had the ball and been able to score. It's not one guy. Everyone's waiting around for one guy to come back here. Fucking ain't right. It's not right. All right? It's not one guy. Give your head up. We're going to win games.
I respect Justin Pugh. Jersey guy. I like Justin Pugh. Or Bucks County guy, I believe he's from. Been PA. But I don't know. It's the right idea that he has to go defend the kicker who's been bouncing around the league. But doesn't that just cause more attention? Doesn't that just make the situation a little bit worse? I get it. He's a leader. He's a veteran. Been with the Giants. Now with the Cardinals for a bunch of years. Ryan, do you think that just makes the situation a little bit worse than just letting the guy get up in front of the cameras and address the media before that being the pigs in the blanket, the appetizer served before you get to hear from the kicker?
I like it. I think it's the right move. Defend the guy because...
But if you were the kicker, would you like it? I think I would just want to stand up there for 4 or 5 minutes, say, hey, I missed the kick, and then get out, not have that extra attention.
Especially as a guy being new on the team, I would appreciate someone having my back.
Okay. And then finally, Brian Daboll says the win over the Packers, where they're down 17-3, then 20-10 at halftime, was a complete team win.
Aaron Rodgers is an exceptional quarterback, but again, it's a team game. We have to play well to put ourselves in position. I thought the coordinators did a fantastic job. Wink, Kafka, and T-Mac all week, you know, leading up to it, being prepared, getting their stuff done ahead of time, coming out here, you know, adjustments at halftime. Those three guys did a great job, and players followed their lead.
Daboll's been incredible. Through the first 5 weeks, I would make him the coach of the year. We'll see where the Giants are at the end of the year, but that's an incredible win yesterday in London, especially with the start that they got off to. All right, that's the News Brief. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, Packers struggling, Bucks struggling, Rams struggling. Those are supposed to be the three teams that were contenders in the NFC before the year started. Who do you have the most confidence in after their struggles through the first 5 weeks of the season.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com, via Westwood One station streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. The quest for one Matthew Stafford to make the Hall of Fame when going to L.A. started off with a bang by getting a Super Bowl and getting that championship and finding a way to leave comeback drive after comeback drive in that postseason run. This year, what an ugly start. And I mean a horrific start for the L.A. Rams, who are 2-3. Now, you get beat up by the 49ers, that's one thing. They've owned you. You've had Shanahan just dominating McVay in the regular season. Jimmy G as well. But then you get a Cowboys team who's better than what we thought. They won 3 games in a row with Cooper Rush. You got to give them their credit. But to not even give yourself a chance in that game, that's frustrating. And we said it last year. We just played you the clip. If Stafford wants to get to the Hall, he's going to have 3 more dominant seasons. Now, he turns 35 in February, and he only has 1 Pro Bowl to his name. Now, Pro Bowl could be a little bit misleading because, what, nowadays, well, there's no more Pro Bowl really anymore. we knew it. But in the last, 2-3 years, like Mac Jones, who I love. Mac Jones should never have been a Pro Bowler last year, but because so many guys said no, he ended up getting a Pro Bowl selection. And Stafford's been a good quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. If there was a Hall of Very Good, he'd be in it already. But he has not been more great in his career than very good. And the way that this is going, and the way that we're seeing this Rams team, the offensive line in shambles, the offense is pretty much just Cooper Kupp. The astonishing thing is that Allen Robinson has been a zero so far in L.A. You know, could they bring back Odell Beckham? Yeah, I guess. And maybe Odell wants to go back there. But if I'm Odell, Ryan, I wouldn't want to go to the Rams right now. I know you just won a Super Bowl there. I know they like you. I know you're a big part of their offense in that playoff run. Von Miller's trying to get you to go to Buffalo. I go to Buffalo in a second. There's a few other destinations that are more attractive than the Rams right now. So we could pump the brakes on the Stafford Hall of Fame conversation. I'll ask a question I never thought I was going to ask. How about the Rams just making the playoffs this year? Because with the way that offensive line is, can they gel throughout the season? Yes, we only return 1 starter from that Super Bowl team from a year ago. Whew. These next few weeks are going to be really telling for the direction of the Rams. And here's the good news if you're a Rams fan. You get the Panthers this week, okay? The Panthers stink. And then you get a bye week. But after that bye week, you play San Francisco, Tampa, and Arizona. Then New Orleans and Kansas City. This is a big stretch the next 4 or 5 weeks for the LA Rams. But right now, there's not a lot to latch on to. Like, that defense is good, but it's not a great defense. And when your defense is very good, not great, you need the other side of the ball to play really well. And I can't crush that defense, but offensively, and Dallas has a very good defense. We know that, a great defense. Offensively, though, The Rams gave you nothing last week against Dallas on Sunday. They gave you nothing against San Francisco. They really gave you nothing against Arizona. And they got up to a 28-3 lead up against the Falcons and shut themselves down. And against the Bills, they only scored 10 points when the Bills were giving you the football left and right in that game. We've not seen this Rams offense look competent other than one half up against the Falcons. They have not looked competent at all this year. I'm concerned about the Rams. I really am. And it's crazy because boy wonder Sean McVay, you'd think, would have an answer to try to fix this and at least keep the ship from sinking.
That's been one of the biggest surprises and one of the reasons for concern. Like I said, we have a banged up Matthew Stafford. The offensive line is in total shambles. But Sean McVay, to his credit, even last year, you know, there were some rough patches for sure, and he found a way to get that team out of it. It's like this year, anything they try or now, even just from a week-to-week basis, it gets worse. Like, well, I thought week one was as bad as it's going to get. Then you watch yesterday with this Cowboys defense. I know they're really good. They're flying around, and they're making the Rams offense look like the Bears.
Mentally, and I know this was your team last year, have you adopted this team this season since your Colts really have nowhere to go? I asked that for a specific reason. You laugh, and you may be saying, like, why the heck is that? You used a we there when talking about the Rams.
I meant we as, like, a
you
collective NFL fandom that's, you know, questioning his decision-making.
Gotcha.
Now we as we the Rams Nation.
I just had to ask.
There's like five people.
You were down in the dumps last week, so I don't know if over the weekend you just said, okay, I got to embrace after that catastrophe Thursday night game the Rams. And if you latched on to the Rams, I just wanted to be aware so I could keep track of that.
I mean, they're not even the team I'd probably latch on to right now if I want to see a winner. Sheesh.
Oh, yeah, they stink.
The Colts have a better record than them, so it's like.
Right, pump the brakes.
I'm just, technically, I'm not wrong.
You aren't, but the Colts stink.
But I would agree. I'm just saying, if I'm going to ditch my Colts, which I would never do, but in this hypothetical war that we're in right now, I wouldn't leave them for the Rams this year. I'll just say that.
That's like asking, like, which illness would you rather have right now when you look at the Rams or the Colts?
Well, misery or pain. What do you want?
Yeah, which one? If you had to pick a new team, who would you pick? You could pick one team in the NFL to root for the rest of the way. If I told you the Colts, they got dropped down a division. Got dropped down a little.
Yeah, relegated.
Yeah, relegated.
To the AAF.
Yeah, or the XFL. Or
the MAC. Now you're playing on Tuesday nights.
Who would be your team?
I guess I'd go the Rams, you know.
Real? Ooh. Eve. Yikes. Okay.
I mean, yeah. Well, what else you want to do? I'm not picking your Patriots, that's for sure.
Well, yeah.
Although Bailey Zappi could be the Tom Brady.
Stop it. I'm not saying you should pick the Patriots, but
I like the Dolphins. I like Tua.
Come on. Yeah, but who knows when Tua's going to get back? Unfortunately.
Well, that's part of the reason I can't.
That
refer.
Team's starting to trend the wrong direction now. If Skylar Thompson has to start this week,
Kansas State legend. Let's go.
Minnesota can't lose that game this week.
Must win. Can't lose.
Yeah.
Got to have it.
I know they're 4-1. They're due a stinker, but come on. You got to have that game. But you look at the NFC, Packers lose to the Giants, Bucks just survive against the Falcons, and I'm the biggest Brady fan there is. What a disgrace of a call that was on Grady Jarrett. That was horrible, how they called that roughing the passer. But that's the NFL. You have no clue how to tackle the quarterback anymore, but that one was just stunning. And you have the Rams, who just got beat up by the Cowboys. If you had to pick one team, Packers, Bucks, Rams, to trust the most the rest of the way, who would the team be?
It has to be the Bucks,
right? Because they have a great defense. Brady's not declining. People are like, oh, Brady's finally showing his age. The line stinks right now. And who is he throwing to at wide receiver? It's like a rotation of guys each and every week. But I would think the combination of Brady figuring it out or making it look competent in a down year for the NFC or not a strong NFC, and that defense would give me the most confidence between the Packers, Bucks, and the Rams. Rams, I can't trust their offensive line, and Stafford's not Brady. And the Packers, I think there's starting to be a little internal struggle with the Packers. Jair Alexander saying one thing, Rodgers then basically telling Jair Alexander to shut up, and you just blew a lead to the Giants, who, give them credit, they are 4-1. But geez, that was a bad loss out in London when you thought you were cruising. Come on back, no huddle offense, week 5 next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.